Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and you are now tuning in to the Analysis Paralysis Corner. I'm one of your hosts, Peter.
I'm the other one, Antoine.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. Tonight we have a special game that's very near and dear to our hearts, and we're going to talk about, and that is Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop. So, oh man, I don't have a description for it, Antoine.
Oh, well, I feel like the description's pretty easy. You're a girl who's gone through a broken heart, and you're just playing through some songs and until it gets better. you're on the rails, like you haven't mentioned it yet, but just moving, picking up some hearts, picking up some icons, and playing the game.
Yeah. So Sayonara Wild Hearts is a music game. At first, when you first were pitching the game to me and talking about it, I thought it was going to be a big rhythm game. So I started playing it, and it is this on rails. It looks kind of like Amplitude or
there's another.
Yeah. It's just this game that you're like, oh, I'm just moving around in a little half pipe. Maybe I can do a trick or something.
Yeah.
But I was really expecting that there was going to be rhythm moments right in from the beginning. But despite that, the music itself was really cool to me. And I did like just how it enters in with those stages. What did you think when you first started playing it? What made you actually purchase the game?
Well, I love rhythm games. So I saw it. It seemed interesting. I also have an affinity for indie games. So I just honestly saw it. It was on sale in the PlayStation Store. I picked it up and then hopped right in. My initial view on it was, oh man, this game sucks. The Claire de Lune song, it was just boring and there was not much going on. And I was like, what did I get myself into? But immediately they fixed that view of mine. By song three, I was just going to play through all of them.
Yeah, I remember going through it, and especially some of the first levels, the game is kind of quick, right? Like the first level you get through and it's like, oh, bronze medal. And I thought, oh, dang, I couldn't even tell how close I was getting to it.
Yeah. It makes you feel like you suck.
Yep, right.
You almost get bronze on every song the first time through.
Yep. That's exactly how I felt. Bronze medal, silver medal, never saw gold medal. I believed it was mythical.
Yeah. So I think collectively, if you sat down and you were really dedicated, you could probably beat the entire game in a couple of hours. So certainly a very, very short game, but worth it.
Definitely worth it. Yeah, I really enjoyed going through those levels. Like, it's, you know, it starts off with that half pipe, and then somewhere, I forget which level it goes into, they start adding in these little NPC people who are also in the background that are coming to attack you. And then this is where the rhythm element comes into play, which immediately I failed at because I wasn't expecting to have to press another button besides using the joystick.
Yep, I think it's the third stage. And then they give you the quick time event button press. And then it just keeps evolving, which is probably another special thing about that game, is that it starts off one thing, but it ends something completely different.
Yeah.
They keep giving you new vehicles or new weapons and new just random things throughout the story. And it's just one thing after another. She gets better and better.
Yeah. It's never quite what you're expecting. Like you expect the game to just be this general trend of music. And it is, the music is always awesome. Like once after Claire de Lune, going forward is always awesome. They do have these like heartbreak moments that, like, I don't know if they're acting as just like general stops, but it seems like it stops the kind of story like of the game, because you start out like you're falling through, and then you land into a city, and then now you're running in the city, and then somehow you end up in the woods, and then a VR headset.
Yeah, you're driving in a car in the desert. It's just, they take you everywhere. Something very, very minor that I don't know if you noticed, I certainly didn't the first time I played through it, but it actually goes through all of the major arcana, like the tarot cards.
I did see that.
Yeah,
right.
So
does it go in order? Is it like 1 through 22?
I have no idea what the order of the major arcana are. I think that if Fool is number one, then maybe it goes in order, because I think the Claire de Lune is a representation of the Fool. So
right.
Yeah. Only reason I recognized it is because of all of the Persona playing, and I was like, oh, I I've seen these names. I've seen Hierophant before. I've seen High Priestess. Yeah, probably a deeper story there than I realized after playing the game multiple times through.
Yeah, I was thinking about having a guest come in and speak with us about kind of, I don't know for a fact, and hopefully no one's going to come back and be like, no, that's absolutely not what this is about. But I think this is kind of the story of a trans person either discovering themselves or coming to who they are. Like, especially like at the beginning, the image of what you see is a male presenting character. And then through the course of the first level, that male presenting character ends as a woman presenting character.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, by the end of the game, when it finally comes out and Queen Latifah says, "Sayonara, Wild Hearts," one more time, like, you cut back to that same room at the beginning and it's now a girl that's sitting there.
Yeah, and I noticed that, but I honestly didn't make that connection. That's great. I feel like there's multiple interpretations to be had. The whole time I thought it was just a person going through a terrible breakup, and it was agender, I guess. They just didn't want to represent it as one gender throughout the entire game, but it was a girl the entire game, except for, like you mentioned, the very beginning. But yeah, it was good, astute observation. I did not realize that.
Oh, thank you. I guess that was the very first thing I had noticed when I started playing it. Beyond that,
you actually, I am loath to say this, but you were not the first person that I introduced this game to after playing it. I introduced it to our other mutual friend, Phil, who took it, loved it, beat it again. I creepered on him online, and it says he's played the game for over 20 hours. That is not a 20-hour game, but it just had that impact on him. I think the music, I listen to it in my car now. It is something that is a regular rotation in my playlist. I feel like despite being a very indie game and a very short, brief game, and I think the music was all done by the same one or two people, it just made me feel things, got me in the feels, you know? And it was very elegantly done, a very smooth game. And for a rhythm game lover, I feel like it was nice. It was important. And they did a lot of unique things. Like I was mentioned before, the stages keep changing. They kept evolving. They kept the game interesting through all 20 some odd tracks. I guess that kind of transitioned into my final takeaway.
Yeah. Honestly, as I was playing the game, probably one of the difficult things for me was, especially with the big screen TV that I was using, I got kind of dizzy playing it. It's one of those games that, like, the way the colors in come and fly at you, there's a lot happening. For me, I got slightly seasick from time to time. So as I progressed through the game, there were moments that I had to say, okay, let me stop. I'll get onto this. I'll go attack this Cerberus with my gunmetal motorcycle in just a little bit while I get a glass of water and wipe the sweat away from my head.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably one stage that was particularly bad for you, right? And there's a stage where you sail on the ocean.
Double seasick. We call it seasick squared. Playing through it and finishing it, I really enjoyed, like, the music was all amazing. And I do like the progression of the different levels as it goes forward, because it does start out very simple. At first, you're only essentially using, like, just the joystick up and down, and then you introduce the circle button with all those rhythm parts. And then after that, now you introduce timing your movements because you've got these gunshots going through. And then from there, like, it's like it just continues to transform itself. Like, from simply being a game that's on rails to, like, even being like 2D movement, you're moving around inside of a VR headset as all these little Galaga-esque things are coming to attack you. And then by the end of it all, like,
you're flying on a dragon.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Dragon was cool.
It takes you everywhere.
What I was surprised about this game when I finished it, you know, you told me you platinumed it, and I was like, I didn't get a single trophy.
Yep. Neither did I.
In my head, immediately, I was already throwing away my, like, pro gamer card. Not that I have that, but because I definitely don't have it after playing the game. But I sat there and was just, how in the world did I not, like, go through an incidental trophy? But that's that. I think that's the uniqueness about this game, was that the developers were like, they were proud enough to say, we're not going to give you any kind of easy trophy. There's no participation trophy in this game.
Right. You don't get trophies just for being good or just for playing through it. You have to actually figure out the riddles and or look them up online, as you're probably going to do. And then solve them and beat the stage in an even more unique way than the stage is already originally designed.
Yeah, that's a great way to elongate the game play in a way that is unique and not the same as these other maybe more traditional AAA video games. You know, we talk about this being an indie game, and that really is a selling point to me, is just how beautifully it incorporates those ideas.
Yeah. Probably really happy that somebody introduced you to that game. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah. The guy who introduced me to the game, he's pretty cool. Like,
pretty cool guy. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's how I understand it. I definitely know him. All right. Well, I think that is going to conclude this episode for today. Sayonara Wild Hearts is going to have a little spotlight from us. It's a great game. You all should play it if you haven't played it. And yes, we promise that it's much better after the third level.
Yeah, satisfaction guaranteed, or Peter will pay it for you. He'll Venmo you the money. Just send your account information. He'll get it right to you.
Absolutely. I definitely keep track of all that I owe to people. And I promise I am not escaping to Puerto Rico. That's actually a terrible idea, because Puerto Rico is an island out in the middle of the Caribbean. Where am I hiding?
Yeah. people will get to you very quickly.
Very quickly. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for listening in.